Here's the simplest thing. Figure out an affordable rate and let people use that, something that won't undermine your quality of life, won't interfere with your ability to make expenses, won't interfere with your ability to save money for your kids' college education, and let people buy in to Medicare or Medicaid.
I got a working class blues. I work all day to take all my class. I got a working class blues. I work all day to take all my class.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, therickssmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. So it's been reported that Texas Senator John Cornyn was caught on a hot mic talking to Indiana Senator Todd Young, saying, we're trying to figure out what to do with the individual mandates. Again, what they're trying to do is they're trying to destroy that. They're trying to destroy what's left of Obamacare. Because, look, at the end of the day, I keep saying, I think they've already done enough to destroy it. This is just kind of finishing it off. And this talk of the skinny repeal, which now we know could cut some 16 million people off of insurance over the next couple of years, seems to be what they really, really want. And here to talk about the skinny repeal, where we're going, why we're going, and what we should be doing. Mara Kelson's here. She's the Managing Director of Health Policy there at the Center for American Progress. Mara, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you for having me.
So skinny repeal. Could this be the answer? Could this be what the conservatives and the base wants?
Well, I think the actual skinny bill is not what the base and what the senators want as the final outcome, but it allows them to keep kicking the can towards more comprehensive changes to the healthcare system that are going to uninsure tens of millions of people.
I look at this, and again, I keep coming back to the sad reality that for many of the senators, the plans that were put forth aren't bad enough.
Yeah.
And I guess I struggle with the fact that we've got people in this country who are going, that, you know, it's okay. We're going to take health care from millions of people so that we can give more to the very wealthy. I mean, for me, it basically boils down to something that simple.
Oh, I agree completely. I think that I've never been involved in any sort of debate that has more moral clarity to it than this debate. It's just unbelievable that they keep trying to work this hard to take care away from so many people.
And, you know, you can't even get into the whys at this point because they're so diverse. And so I know there are some true believers who think that the free market is the answer. And I got to tell you, I've written off everybody, anyone who talks to me about free market solutions, and they say that they're on Medicare, they need to go away.
Yes.
I can't tell you how many of those people I've had because they have this blind faith belief.
Yep, exactly. So it's the, you know, during the Tea Party rallies back in 2009, the number of signs that you would see that said, that say, keep government out of my Medicare is just unbelievable.
Now, there is a potential savior, as I understand this. In fact, 10 governors, one of which is my governor here in Pennsylvania, Tom Wolf, and good on him. But 10 senators have sent a letter saying, hey, don't do this. We've expanded Medicaid. Don't screw this up.
Exactly. And I think what's really important for people to realize, I think, about the Medicaid piece of this, and it's why I think the governors came out with such a great statement, is that, you know, the skinny bill is very pared down. It doesn't actually include any Medicaid savings, but it allows Senate leadership to meet in secret in a conference committee with the House, and they can take provisions from the House bill, which of course included just really ends the Medicaid expansion, drastically restructures the Medicaid program. So it's really, you know, you can call it a shell game or a Trojan horse plan, but, you know, I think that the governors clearly saw through that.
Say that part again about meeting in secret, because, you know what, I'm kind of remembering the entire 2016 election cycle of how, you know, Obamacare was rammed down our throats and how it was done in secret and how, you know, they didn't have any say. And you know, granted, it took 60 votes to get there. But remind me again of the secret part.
Oh, I hope you debunked those claims that the ACA was done in secret. There were hundreds of hearings and hours of debate. But essentially, when there is a piece of legislation, and if the House and the Senate pass different versions of it, conferees, which are basically like the committee heads and other leadership people, they meet in what's called conference committee, and they hammer out the details to make sure that obviously there can only be one piece of legislation that comes out of Congress for the president to sign. So in this case, what would happen, and the worst case scenario, and I think that this is really what their end game is they'll just pass anything right now, which would be the skinny repeal, and then they, meaning the senators, will go meet with the House conferees, and they can simply reinsert all the Medicaid provisions and all of the horrible stuff that is in the House bill, and then it goes back for final approval to both the House and the Senate, and it's a straight up and down vote, no amendments, no changes allowed.
Right. I mean, the reason I wanted you to highlight that, because, you know, I keep having people tell me, well, you know, this is beginning to open up the debate, and now we're going to have, you know, there's going to be real debate on substantive issues, and we're going to find out what the plan is. I'm going, there's no plan. You know, maybe it's just I grew up in the 70s where, you know, in kind of simplistic thinking of, you know, Schoolhouse Rock. I mean, you remember I'm Just a Bill?
I mean, oh, yes.
There was a path, and you had hearings, and there was a whole bunch of input, and the community had some thoughts, and there was a bunch of stuff. None of that happened here.
No, not at all. And every single, you know, I shouldn't say every single, but, you know, the American Medical Association, all of the different doctor groups, the nurses, everybody who really understands the healthcare system is opposed to what they are doing, and they are not taking input from anybody. It is they are completely smashing all sorts of democratic norms in this process.
I mean, so again, you know, and it's like a lot of issues that the Republicans take on. Anybody who has any, you know, experience, any expertise, any knowledge, they seem to be pushed aside, and the most radical of voices, because again, you know, and the reason I brought up Cornyn's piece is that, you know, they really don't know what they're doing, and they have no clue of where they're going, but they're doing it.
Well, he not only said that on the hot mic, but he also admitted that the skinny bill is just really a device to get them to the conference committee that I was describing, and that they will, quote, you know, deal with Medicaid at that time.
Yeah, and again, you keep going back to it. I keep telling my friends, Medicaid was something Republicans were opposed to, many of them. And it's been something that they've wanted to destroy for a long time, along with Medicare. Because if you think Medicaid's the only thing that's going to be under attack, think again, because they want to get rid of Medicare as well.
Yes. I mean, if you look at the blueprint, Better Way plan, I think it's called the Better Way, what Paul Ryan has put out year after year after year. It includes these block grants and capping Medicaid payments, federal Medicaid support. It includes putting voucher-like programs on the Medicare program. I mean, this is just really one part of their really obsession with undermining all sorts of supports that millions and millions of Americans rely on.
Yeah, but they would tell you, and I'm sure you know this, that they would say, that's giving you choice, Mara. You would have the choice, and you could go out in the free market, and people could compete for your business. It would be great. States mm-hmm. would innovate. They could do really great things, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, that you have the talking points down perfectly. You know, you can only innovate when you have funding, and, you know, it basically allows them to innovate and make terrible changes to programs. So, you know, it basically will force states to have to make some really, really devastating decisions about how much coverage, whether or not you have to cover certain people on Medicaid. So, you know, what happens to the people that you don't have to cover? What happens to the benefits of the people who do remain in the program? It just, there are no good ways. You cannot innovate your way out of $800 billion worth of cuts.
And that's just here in this part of it. That's not the Trump budget, which was proposing even greater cuts.
Exactly. And I think that the Trump budget completely underscores the fact that once you change how the federal government pays for Medicaid, it just becomes a piggy bank for all other funding that they want to do. So once you kind of change, once you cap the federal responsibility for paying for Medicaid, you can just like turn the lever on that and just keep ratcheting down the federal support that you can't do now.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. What do you think of this scheme that's been reported by the Washington Examiner by Republican Senator from Montana, Steve Daines, who is talking about proposing an amendment to push for single payer?
I think it just really underscores how not seriously the Republicans are taking this debate. I mean, I saw this great tweet said something like, I can't imagine that a Republican senator would spend this amount of time, I'm sorry, would spend more time picking out a car than they are messing with 1/6 of the economy and people's lives. So I just think it's just a clear indication of how they're not really considering what this means for their constituents.
Yeah, because I'm a single payer guy. I've been a single payer guy from day one, even before the Affordable Care, when they were even discussing the Affordable Care Act. I said it just seems sane to me to have one giant insurance pool, and I don't even really care if it's private or public, but to have one giant insurance pool that everybody is in from cradle to grave, and that you pay into it through a mechanism like taxes or something, so that you don't fall behind on premiums, and you do it based on income, so that everyone from cradle to grave is covered, and that you're in it the entire time, so you have healthy people, sick people, working people, everybody in it. That to me is the way we should be going forward, not these hodgepodge of let the invisible hand keep giving us the invisible finger. I'm sorry, it just seems rational.
No, I mean, and there are really good policy reasons for going with a single payer system. I just think that this particular amendment, I think, just makes a mockery of this process, and it's just kind of indicative of their disdain for really taking this issue seriously.
Yeah, I get some of my neoliberal friends who I love, they're great people, just kind of the Republican light mentality I struggle with, that they believe that it's a great idea, it's a great fantasy, but it's never going to happen. And I'm going, well, it's never going to happen if you don't actually try. And maybe it might not happen tomorrow, but we should be moving towards that, because we've got so many of these hodgepodge systems, like Medicaid. Most people don't know that it's a huge funder for seniors. Didn't know that.
Exactly.
It does help the poor and it does help children, but it's a big fund for seniors. We take care of the sick, the old. We've got an insurance industry that benefits from taking care of the healthy. That seems ridiculous to me.
I just realized I was just sitting here nodding, and then I realized while I'm nodding, your listeners cannot see that I'm agreeing with you. So
last question I've got for you, because look, I'm cognizant of the fact that right now single payer is not even on the map. I think it's something we should be talking about, be changing hearts and minds to come around to common sense ideas like, one insurance pool. But I look at this. This has got to be something we fight back right now, because as much as I'm not a big fan of the ACA, it was a huge step forward.
Yeah, very much so. And if we can't save this bill, we're going to be starting from a much worse place. And the ACA is not perfect. It has any legislation that affects this much of our economy and really deals with healthcare, because it's such a personal topic, is always going to need some changes and amendments and have it grow. Medicare has been amended like 50 times, and this idea that the ACA is one piece and it has to stay the exact same way as when it was passed is just really, it's harmful on efforts to expand coverage, and it's not bringing us in the correct direction.
Yeah, I mean, it's mind-blowing to me, The thing that really kind of is, I don't know if it's poetic justice or I take no solace in it, but I think the people who are going to be harmed most are the people who voted for these folks.
Mm-hmm. It is certainly going to be especially older, rural, lower income Americans are really going to bear the brunt of this. And, I do think that a lot of them were sold a real bill of goods. Trump talked a really good game about universal coverage and,
yep.
They're going to make it better, and everything that they are doing right now is a total betrayal of what they told their supporters.
And they're going to have to remember it. Mara, I appreciate you taking time for us. Thanks so much for your thoughts.
Thank you.
Great talk with you, Mara Kelson, Managing Director of Health Policy there at the Center for American Progress. You want to check out their stuff, we'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com. Quick break, right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Don't let us get old. Don't let us get stupid, all right. Just make us be brave. Make us play nice. Let us be together tonight.
Thought-provoking, intelligent conversation with a heart. The voice of the working class, Rick Smith. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.